There is Thunder in Our Hearts by Smooth Snow. Read to you by Be Brave 13. A Stranger Things benefit. Summary. Yeah, Mike nods, but it isn't the most convincing, and he can't find it in him to care in the late hour. I was just thinking. It's not the most significant outfit, but still. It looks nice. He's always looked good in white. Mike blinks. That's weird. That's a weird thing to think about his best friend. He effectively churns off his brain. Will asks, about what? You, Mike replies, and maybe turning off his brain was the worst idea he could have possibly had at nearly 3 a.m. Jesus fucking Christ. Or, Mike confronts Will about the painting and lets a few confessions slip. It's not like Mike Wheeler is a complete idiot. Contrary to popular belief, he did, in fact, have a few brain cells floating up in there, residing amongst ideas for future D&D campaigns, plans for the weekend, and a box firmly locked and labeled Do Not Think About in bold red letters. A Pandora's box of sorts, except there was no evil besides his own thoughts. Maybe that was just as bad. Maybe worse. There were a lot of things in that box. It held his parents, for one, November 1983 for another, most of middle school, the time he tripped walking up to the front of the class, when he accidentally got caught sneaking out. Will Byers. And, well, when he says it like that, it sounds horrible. He sounds like a terrible friend, and maybe, scratch that, he is a terrible friend, but it's the truth. Mike tries very hard not to think about Will, for the sake of his own mental well-being. It's a hard task to accomplish, and especially when Will was, well, Will. He's kind, loving, easy to love, strong, brave, sweet, a little snarky when he wants to be. He's a great listener, too. He listens, even when Mike is being an incomprehensible mess and can't tell any of his thoughts apart. But Will sits next to him and nods at all the right times, and his eyes are wide and shiny and just seem to stare right into Mike's very soul. And sometimes it is Mike losing his own train of thought, but it doesn't matter, because Will always gets it. And that's another thing. Mike has a lot of things in that stupid box, but sometimes it gets too much, and sometimes he just needs to spill just a little, just enough to soothe his anxieties. And it's always Will he goes to, because no one else would understand. Will gets him. Mike will run dry when it comes to things that really matter, the things that he really needs to articulate. But Will nods, and it doesn't really matter then, when Mike stumbles on his words and can't quite make it sound right, because Will doesn't need words to understand him. He's magic like that. And for the longest time, he thought he was the same for Will. Sure, he knows that they've changed from who they were as kids, and he can even admit that to a higher degree it was his fault. He knows that. He's accepted that, even. Except that, well, he thought he was it for Will, too. He thought he got Will like no one else did, just like Will did for him, and that they never had to really say anything to understand each other like best friends do, because that's what they are, best friends. Although, lately, they haven't been best friends. They haven't been best friends. Mike had proposed it back in Lenora, but they hadn't gone back to that just yet. He hopes they will, because Mike cannot handle this strange strain between them any longer. Because the thing, of course, is that it's always different with Will. With Elle, it had been easy to ignore the long silences after fights, when they'd both stop yelling and go a little cold with each other. And then he would have to force out an apology afterwards, even if he wasn't really sorry, and they'd end up fighting again later. Maybe he should have seen their breakup coming a little earlier. Maybe that's where he lacks, though. Despite the dramatic I love you and the insistence that she was his superhero, he still hadn't seen through it all. He still hadn't loved her right. He hadn't gotten her. He hadn't understood her, not completely. Perhaps that's the difference between a girlfriend and a best friend, he thinks. Girlfriends will always be a little difficult to read. Best friends are like the back of his hand. Because with Will, it's never easy to ignore their fights, and especially when it's always right after they both fall silent that Mike feels a crushing weight on his chest, a familiar guilt that washes over him when he says something he didn't mean, and then Will gets that hurt look, and Mike feels like the biggest idiot ever, and tries his best to fix it as soon as possible. And usually it works. But not this time. It's been getting hard to read Will lately. He supposes it's his own fault because Will has never been this closed off, even in Lenora. In Lenora, he'd been a little quiet, a little more reserved, a little more resigned to slip into the background, let himself be forgotten and left behind. He's always been like that, but especially then. And Mike knows he's an asshole for letting Will get away with it. He knows he should have persisted, tugged Will closer, and made sure that he felt seen, felt included, and felt like a friend. He never let Will get away with it in the past. Then again, it was easier to read Will back then. Maybe if he'd tried hard enough, it would be easy now, too. But he hadn't. Mike had turned the other way, because doing anything else would have threatened his ridiculous mind box to burst open, and he couldn't do that right now. Or ever. Especially right now, when he has no security blanket of a girlfriend. It has him more vulnerable, more introspective. He can't think about it. But back to the main problem. It's getting hard to read Will. Which hurts, actually. It hurts more than it should, because the whole thing about Will simply getting Mike, he had thought it was the same. Will gets Mike, and Mike gets Will, and they'll be best friends until the end of time. Except that it is very much not the case, and especially not right now. Because, see, the thing is that Mike did what he always does. He fucks up, he says something terrible, and then he comes crawling back with an apology spilling past his lips, and Will would always pick him up from the ground and pat him on the shoulder to tell him it's all okay. And it was good. It worked, and they'd move on and continue being best friends. Except now, Mike thinks he must have fucked up badly because Will has barely spoken to him since they've come back to Hawkins. It's a stupid thing to be upset about, he knows, and it's more like a sub-concern than anything, except it has him worried, and he's been losing sleep over the fact that they haven't had a sincere conversation since Hopper's cabin. Which, okay, they have had conversations. Good conversations, too. They'd talked just 2 days ago, and Mike had felt oddly giddy the entire time, as if he was getting a taste of what he'd lost and a promise to get it back. Except he isn't getting it back, because no matter how much they've talked, it doesn't feel right. It's as though there's an invisible barrier between them, thick and impossible to move, and Mike has no idea how to get rid of it, because it's his own fault anyway. It's his fault for distancing them. It's his fault for never reaching out. It's his fault for leaning out of half hugs and awkward shoulder pats. And it's his fault for thinking like that, for staring just a little too long to be normal and for wanting things. But that's all material for the ever-growing mental box, the same that holds all his regrets, humiliations, and things he refuses to properly think about. And if his unusual thoughts about Will Byers was half the things inside, then that's his business alone. And anyway, it's not like it matters, because he still has Will as a friend, even if it never feels like enough. It still hadn't felt like enough when they were best friends, and it's even worse now. It shouldn't be. At least they're talking again. It's strange, because they're only like 3 feet apart, yet Mike is pretty sure this is the farthest they've been from each other since Will moved to California. Will lays in a heap of blankets and a small twin-sized mattress on the floor, just below Mike's bed, for the fact that the Byers did not currently have a place to stay, and the Wheelers had just enough room and more than enough hospitality. Or at least Karen Wheeler did. And now Mike shares his room with his childhood best friend, not feeling like much of a friend at all. It's stupid. This is all stupid. He wants to fix things, but he isn't even sure what needs fixing. Well, he does, kind of. But that means opening the box, just a little. Just enough to figure things out and be normal again. But nothing in that stupid box is normal. And Mike is just barely holding on to any resemblance of normal because lately all he feels is batshit crazy. Moonlight filters in, shaded pale, and it's less dark in the room than it usually would be in account of the open window, because Mike had remembered Will's thing with the dark, and usually Mike would have no problem falling asleep, dark or not, but his very not normal thoughts were keeping him wide awake. This was a problem. And the solution was sleeping 3 feet away, on Mike Wheeler's bedroom floor. Sleep has been a struggle lately, anyway. It's a fleeting thing, a bird flying just out of his too aggressive grasp, and Will is the reason why. But it's not Will's fault, obviously. It's Mike and his stupid brain that won't stop thinking about him. And there's that temptation to cross whatever line they've unspokenly drawn ever since Mike had landed in Lenora, and it's stalked them back to Mike's room right now. Mike doesn't know what his issue is. It's late. They've both got to be up early tomorrow to help save the world, or whatever the fuck. He hates how that's his responsibility, but then again, if not them, then who else? Just a merry group of teenage misfits and about 3 adults to stop the end of the world. He wishes Will wasn't dragged into this. He'd had enough of it 3 years ago. He doesn't deserve to be back again, no matter how much of a comfort he is to Mike. Right. Will. The problem. The solution. And before he can properly think about it, Mike quietly says, Will? There's a beat of silence before Will groans a reply. There's the sound of sheets shuffling around until, yeah. Will's voice sounds deep, which is a stupid thing to think because obviously Will's voice is deeper than it was a year ago. Mike had to take a second to process it the first time he heard it, but now in the dead of night, worn with exhaustion, Will's voice sounds much deeper. Scratchy, but in a good way. Mike wants to bang his head against a wall. He's supposed to be the writer of a group. In a good way? Really? Are you awake? Mike asks, very much uselessly. Obviously Will was awake. Yeah. He replies anyway, and there's more shuffling before he adds, thoughtful as always, Are you okay? Mike blinks at the tingly feeling in his hands. What? Yeah, I'm fine. He clears his throat and tries to think of a reason for bothering Will. He gestures vaguely, and he's pretty sure Will can't even see him where Mike is sitting up in his bed, blankets strewn around his waist.
Just?
Will prods, and Mike peers over to watch Will slowly sit up. Mike glances at the time. It's nearing 2 a.m. They should both be asleep, but the late hour makes him feel impulsive. He meets Will's eyes, bright in the night, and pats the space beside him. Will blinks at him, and Mike pats his bed one last time, feeling strangely pathetic, but then Will clumsily gets up and sits beside him. Their knees touch. Will's warm, like he usually is. He's a little bit of a furnace, and it's a nice reminder of their old sleepovers when they'd huddle close for warmth, even though they were still in Mike's basement with the heater running steadily. Will's close now, much closer than he was just a second ago, and it makes Mike's thoughts go a little haywire. He doesn't know where to look. Eyes, obviously, but it feels oddly intense, so he looks at his hands, but that's weird, so he looks at Will's chest, then his arms, then his shoulders, and that's probably not normal, so Mike looks at his lips, which is decidedly the weirdest place to stare, so he goes back to eyes. This is the worst.
Mike?
He pops back to the moment. He's still staring at Will silently, like a creep. Right.
Yeah, sorry,
he mumbles, bringing up a hand to rub at the back of his neck.
Zoned out for a second there.
Will offers him a small smile, reassuring, like always. Mike wants to hold him close or something. Like, friends do, except not really, because they haven't held each other like that in years, and it's Mike's fault, because it was never weird until Mike started thinking it was weird, and then he stopped holding Will's hand as much or hugging him back like he should have. God, he wants to turn back time. He wants to do a lot of things. Like hold Will. but that's weird. Into the box it goes. Tired? Will says, bait for a way to slide into conversation, because he can clearly see how Mike was struggling to do it himself. He's merciful like that. It just makes Mike's hands feel even emptier. Not really, Mike replies, shrugging. I feel like I might still be running on California time, which is weird since I was there for like a day. Will cracks a smile. I doubt driving through half the country helped. Yeah, Mike nods, and it's easy. Did I wake you? Will shakes his head. I wasn't really sleeping. I was mostly just closing my eyes and waiting to sleep, I guess. He tilts his head. I might still be in California time, too. It'd be 11 right now. Mike huffs a laugh. Neither of us ever really slept before 12. I guess not, Will says, and there's a quiet when neither of them knows what to say, and it's suddenly weird again. Mike hates it. He hates how it's different. Then again, he's got no one else to blame but himself. He's always been bad with people, he thinks. The party barely holds on, and God, what a joke of a heart he is if he can't even keep their trauma-bonded friend group together. Maybe Will was wrong just this once. Maybe Mike had been the heart once upon a time, but not now. Not anymore. But the painting to prove the sentiment hangs on his wall, just below his one-way sign and above his bed, and with all the care and careful brushstrokes, Mike couldn't protest against such a thing. Will wouldn't make something so meaningful if he didn't believe it. Will's nice like that. He's too nice, even, especially when it's with Mike. He's always been too nice to Mike. Mike doesn't deserve it. Are you sure you're okay? Mike turns to Will, who looks back, a worried crease between his eyebrows, and he's frowning just slightly like he does when he's concerned. It's a look he's seen several times on Will, and almost as much on Joyce. It'd be something sweet if not for the churning feeling in Mike's stomach. Yeah, Mike nods, but it isn't the most convincing, and he can't find it in him to care in the late hour. I was just thinking. Will's hands stay on his thighs, where he's wearing a pair of pajama pants that had always been just a tad short on Mike. They fit a little tighter than they did on Mike, the dark blue plaid paired with a loose white t-shirt. It's not the most significant outfit, but still. Will looks nice. He's always looked good in white. Mike blinks. That's weird. That's a weird thing to think about his best friend. He effectively turns off his brain. Will asks, about what? You, Mike replies, and maybe turning off his brain is the worst idea he could have possibly had at nearly 3 a.m. Jesus fucking Christ. He adds, and Will keeps staring at him, eyes wide, shiny in the moonlight. His frame, slouched shoulders, and the slight lean forward is traced by the low light of the moon, and his hair is just a little tousled from being pressed against the pillowcase. His eyes are still glazed pretty when they stare at Mike, surprised. Will looks really not the time. God. That sounds weird, Mike says, and wants to smack himself with a chair. I just meant I was thinking about our fight, I guess. Nice save, he thinks sourly. He can never really say what he means. Will shakes his head. I already said it was okay, Mike. Really, it's... I know. He interrupts, eyes dropping to the floor below, where the mattress lays, messy sheets. I know, but it's still bugging me, I guess. It's just... I've been a shitty friend, you know? And you keep saying it's okay, but it's not. Mike chews on his lip and looks up. You know you can be mad at me, right? Will meets his gaze. He's always steady, a constant in Mike's life. He takes it for granted more often than not. He doesn't know how to express all the guilt bubbling in his chest, the way he wants to tuck himself and Will into a room and relentlessly apologize for everything he's done, everything he hasn't done, has ever thought about doing. He has so much to be sorry for, it seems like. He'd only hope to whatever holy thing was up there that Will would forgive him. There's a moment before Will replies, soft and reassuring like he always is. I know. There's another silence, one that feels infinitely longer, until he continues, "But I'm not." Mike chews on his lip in thought, puzzlement growing in the low level of his stomach. He'll blame it on the ticking clock when he asks impulsively, without thinking about the consequences of pushing too far, "Why?" He knows he crossed something when Will seems to blink into the moment, looking startled when he says,
"What?
Why?" Mike repeats, and he almost wishes he hadn't. Will frowns, and Mike wants to do something he shouldn't.
It just seems stupid to still be mad about it with everything going on, and I've never...
Will stumbles, and he pauses, breathing out a sigh. He looks at the wall across from them when he clarifies,
"I guess I can really never stay mad at you."
Mike's stomach does some sort of acrobatic flip at that, being all too happy about such a confession, but the way Will had said it had been with a resigned kind of tone, not exactly fond nor anything positive. Maybe it's because of the late hour?
"You should be,"
he says, because Mike clearly doesn't want anything good for himself. He can feel Will's eyes on him when he continues,
"You should be mad. I keep messing up."
Will's fingers twitch, as if resisting from moving to reach out or touch him or do something equally ridiculous that Mike's delusional mind comes up with. Then again, maybe friends reach out and hold on to each other for comfort. Maybe Mike is unnatural for making a big deal out of it because it means so much more when it comes to Will. Will's hands stay on his lap, and he shakes his head.
"I'm not mad at you, Mike. I don't blame you for anything."
His chest rises and falls as he breathes in, deep, as if it hurts to admit it. Mike wishes it was easier, like it was before. Before. Before what? He doesn't even know. Before Mike had gotten weird? Before Will moved away? Before last summer? Before his heart started thumping weird around Will? Before Mike pushed him away? Before Will took a home inside Pandora's box? Mike wishes it was like before.
"I'm sorry,"
he says, because it's true.
"I know,"
Will replies, because he does.
"It's okay,"
he adds, because he never lies. Not with Mike. Not without a reason. Mike looks away, and it's teetering on the edge of unfamiliarity, once again. It feels like the complete opposite of the van, when they'd been worlds away from each other while Will offered a masterpiece and a vulnerable heart, and they'd been just close enough to brush hands. Just enough for it to matter when Mike had turned away, painting in hand, and ran back to Elle. He looks at the painting. The three-headed dragon, the redness of it warm and deep, the care taken into details, the bright red of the heart, wrongfully plastered on Mike's shield. He wishes he could reach in and hand it to Will. Will has always understood Mike. And maybe Mike was a fool for expecting anything different when Mike had unrolled the painting and Will had said maybe everything Mike had ever wanted to hear. Because Will has always known what to say, if not for a slight confusion when things didn't completely match up with Elle. It had meant so much to Mike at the moment. It still means a lot to him, but there's that lingering doubt that had risen to the front of his mind, the thing he had missed in the moment, yet slapped him in the face when he and Elle sat down for the first time in so long and properly talked. The painting had come up, and so had the mutual confession when Elle had frowned and tilted her head to ask, "What painting?" That had been quickly shoved into the box. Mike's a coward like that. He's been running so far and for so long now, and it had all threatened to burst out back in Lenora, when it had felt like he couldn't keep running as Elle threw all Mike's letters back into his face and he had sat there and lied. Will's better than Mike will ever be. He's always been braver, too, even if he would stand back from fights and flinch at loud noises, because at least he was able to confront his own thoughts, bear out his own heart, even behind a thin film of lie, and even then had every word dripped with sincerity. Mike's a coward. Mike's a coward and hides his feelings in a box. It's begging to be let out now,
banging against the sides of its containment, and Mike might not be a complete idiot, but he's sure he's halfway there. Maybe it could be different now. Maybe he could be just an ounce. Maybe he could have just an ounce of the bravery that Will has, and it could be different just this one time. In a way, it is different. Mike isn't as lost, if only for the fact that Will was right next to him, and he can't quite ignore the rattling chains in his brain. Will isn't falling apart at the seams this time. There's also no L this time. There's no wide-as-the-world gap between them either. Will is so much closer this time. This is the closest they've been in so long, Mike thinks. Close enough to touch. Close enough for Mike to finally fix the bridge he tore down between them, and he could reach Will on the other side if he tries, rebuild each wooden plank one by one, splinters and all. He's close. Will is so close to him. He swallows down the panic in his throat. He'd love to get closer. Will, he begins, quiet, and Will turns to look at him, open and eyes boring into his soul. It feels like acid in Mike's mouth when he says, careful, yet destructive all the same. About the painting. Yeah, Will encourages, always so patient, and it makes Mike hurt in some wretched way. For the first time in so long, Mike tips open the box. Did you lie to me? Will flinches away. What? And suddenly they're a world apart again. Mike never seems to think before he speaks, impulsive in the worst way. If he was one of those heroes in the stories and movies, it'd be his fatal flaw. Mike is no hero, and instead tears down one of the few good things in his life. He speaks and speaks and speaks, yet says nothing at all. Maybe this time would be different. Maybe if he tries, says the right thing for once because Will gets him like no other, then maybe this time Will would finally understand the things that even Mike doesn't. I'm not mad, he's quick to assure, because Will needs to know that. Even if he did lie for maybe the first time ever, then Mike still wouldn't be mad, couldn't be mad. He'd understand, even if Will granted him an explanation. He'd try to understand. He'd try. I talked to Elle, and she mentioned that she didn't know about the painting, and I don't get it, but I'm not mad, okay? I'm not mad, I promise. I just want to know why. There was some other part of him, the part that's taken up the majority of himself for the past year and some that doesn't want to know why. The acknowledgement that all of this, everything that regards Will, is something different than friendship, is more than he can handle. But he's always known that it's different with Will. It's always different with Will. Maybe in a weird way. Will doesn't reply, and he almost looks frozen in time, blinking while he stares at the wall across from them. Mike wants to touch. To break him out of his suspension, just to see if it'd make a difference, to see if it would matter to Will like it does to him. Will, he tries softly instead, hands kept firmly to himself because he is no fearless paladin, not with things like this. Mike watches as Will swallows, the unsubtle dip of his Adam's apple, and he can't bring himself to look away, no self-control in such dark hours. It's always now when the shamelessness is allowed. He'd allow himself this much. He'd allow himself to look. I thought it would help, Will finally says, quiet in the night, and he sounds unreasonably terrified. Mike wants to hold him close, assure him that it's fine, any intention would be forgivable, so long as Mike stopped being the cause of such horrible fear. Mike hates the idea of being the reason for such a thing. He prods, what do you mean? With you and Elle, Will answers, eyes still directed ahead. Since you two were having a hard time, I guess, I thought it would help to boost your confidence in your relationship. I was just trying to help. And trust Will Byers to be selfless, enough so that he tears his own name off the canvas and plasters L. Hopper onto it. It had worked enough in the moment, but not enough for the long run, because they'd broken up anyway. And maybe a small part of him had hoped for something different. Maybe he'd been stupid when he'd wanted something different, something strange and weird and unnatural to come out of it all when he'd been handed the rolled-up parcel, drunk on a fool's hope when he opened it. He shouldn't. He shouldn't want anything out of the ordinary, and especially when he's already come across so much chaos. He should hold on to normal to the best of his abilities, dig his fingers into its flesh and make it bleed red. But maybe he's never been normal. Maybe it had been this way long before chaos came along, because he had known Will Byers long before chaos came to exist. But he doesn't know how to say any of this. So, instead, he says, "You didn't have to." Will turns and gives him a look, and it has Mike thinking that, well, maybe it had seemed that way. Maybe Will's never considered any sort of selfishness. He should have. Will's too good for his own self-preservation. "Sorry," Mike tells him again, because there's a guilt that only keeps piling up, threatening to spill out everything in his body. Will turns away again, and Mike wants to insist, "No, don't look away, keep looking," but he has some amount of dignity left. "Stop apologizing," Will tells him back, and doesn't look at him again. Mike's chest hurts. The moon keeps shining, and Mike swallows down another apology. It tastes dry and heavy, and so does the air. He hates messing up. God, it's like he never knows when to shut up, when to stop pressing and going on and on and on, and he would have known when to shut up a year ago, he's sure of it, because he'd been a shit friend then, too, but it was still easier to read Will, even when they were slowly falling apart. "I don't want to lose you," Mike voices, because it won't matter in the morning. He can blame it on sleep deprivation. Will frowns, and he looks at Mike, and he supposes that's what he wanted, after all. "You're not going to lose me," he says. He sounds certain, reassuring in a way no one else could possibly be, and God, if that doesn't make it all ache so much worse. Mike begins, but he doesn't know quite where to end it, and his mouth is clumsy when he continues, "I don't understand why you forgive me so easily." "You're my best friend, Mike," Will replies, and it sounds so easy. Like it means so much, yet nothing at all, and it almost explains everything. "I shouldn't be," he says. "You should hate me," he adds, and it's all true. Will's frown deepens, but his eyes are soft, as if they could ever understand, and he looks Mike directly in the eye to firmly return, "I could never hate you." It feels like an unintentional lie, as though there was some unspoken exception that Will just hadn't thought of, and Mike has never wanted to test the waters, but he's impulsive, and he's already ruining everything, will already ruin everything by the way the night is going. He's no hero, but it feels like he's running into his doom when he insists, "You would. You'd hate me if you knew." Will's body is fully turned toward him now, open and welcome like it always is, and he's always been so considerate, close and offering a listening ear, knowing what buttons to press.
"If I knew what?"
Mike presses his lips together and looks away, because he should know better than to continue, because these are thoughts not meant to be spoken, to be said aloud, because he's smarter than that, and Mike may be an idiot, but he's smarter than that. But this is Will. This is Will, who is brave and open and honest and holds nothing against him, even after a year of silence, and forgives him easily. And maybe he isn't lying when he says he can never hate Mike. And if now, 3 a.m., the night before they continue saving the world, isn't the right time to test that standing fact, then he doesn't know when is. He wonders if Will would forgive him for the unforgivable. He hopes so. "You'll hate me," Mike prefaces, and Will's frown only deepens, an unspoken protest, and it makes it worse, because he has half a mind to figure it'll change in just a few words.
But that's cruel of Mike to assume, because Will's never done any less than understand Mike, even without a few words, even during the end of the world, even now when he's trying not to accidentally reveal every terrible thought he's had in the past so many years.
Mike.
Will prompts softly, and it breaks him. I'm a terrible person. Mike can barely speak out. Because no normal person thinks like this, you know? Like, I've never... It's not... I'm not supposed to think like this. And no one is, I think. And I know I'm not normal for thinking like this. And I've been trying so hard to keep it all to myself. But it's... I need someone... I need you to know. Because you're the most understanding person I know. He breathes in. Proper panic settling in, but it's too far to go back now. And he shouldn't have said so much, but what is he without his impulsivity, his speaking before thinking, and his mouth running him into his own grave? He is the epitome of recklessness. So, he clears his throat. So, if you hate me, I wouldn't blame you, okay? I want you to know that I know I'm messed up.
Mike,
Will starts, leaning closer, encouraging and comforting, but it feels suffocating all the same.
What is it?
He curls his fingers into his palms, crescents sinking in, and he swallows.
I want things,
he confesses, a sinner in church, that I shouldn't. There's a silence that no merciful being would have ever allowed. But Mike's eyes stay on the mattress in front of him, and he's a little terrified, really, a lot terrified. And it should be easy, because this is Will, and he's always understanding and forgiving. But there's that terrible chance that maybe this crosses the line. There's a silence, and Mike hears Will slowly breathe out. There's a silence, and Will breaks it to ask.
What things?
Do you know why I barely looked at you back in Lenora? Mike answers instead, and Will shakes his head, lost. Mike presses his fist against his knee. I didn't know how to act around you. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. The second I saw you, I started... wanting things again, and I've been wanting them the entire time, but it was easier to pretend when you're not around. Will doesn't interrupt, silent as he stares at Mike. And for once, Mike wishes he'd blurt something out, tell him to shut up and keep his stupid, insane thoughts to himself. But Will isn't like that. Will's kind and loving and a good listener, and nods at the right times and looks him in the eye, and Mike keeps talking. Then you were right in front of me. And suddenly it wasn't so easy, Mike continues. Because I couldn't pretend anymore. Because you never let me get away with pretending, and you didn't last summer, and you didn't back in Lenore, and sometimes it scares the shit out of me, and I still want things. Mike doesn't dare look up. I know. I'm a terrible person for it, and I've been trying so hard to change, but I keep wanting things, Will, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Will doesn't miss a beat when he presses one last time a thumb to an open wound.
What things, Mike?
He rubs his cheek raw when he keeps chewing on it. You'll hate me. Will shakes his head, and his hand twitches again, and Mike wishes he didn't have so much self-control. He wishes Will would do what he wants without thinking, because God knows he thinks enough for both of them.
Not possible,
Will tells him, and it's so earnest and sincere that Mike believes him, if for just a second. He keeps staring at the mattress.
You,
Mike admits, and it's just a wisp above a whisper. Barely enough to be heard, yet it's loud in the silent air, empty with everyone else asleep.
I want. His voice breaks, and he shuts up immediately because he knows he's gone too far this time. Because he has always talked too much and not thought enough. And this time, he's definitely screwed over the only good thing going for him because he has not an ounce of self-restraint or self-preservation in his body. Oh. Will whispers, and it sounds like Judgment Day. He swallows, hoping to clear that strange rawness taking home in his throat, and he tries to blink away the blurriness in his eyes, and his hands tighten further into fists, and he slowly breathes out. There's a million apologies on his tongue, but he's too afraid to say any of them, lest he begin crying, or something equally terrible. I know you said you couldn't hate me, Mike forces out, hoarse. But I don't hate you, Mike, Will interrupts, immediate, and his voice is so certain that Mike could never doubt him. I could never hate you. Mike tries to let it sink in because he doesn't know why he expected anything different. Will's the paramount of humanity, the best this wicked world has to offer, and of course he'd be accepting. Because he has always forgiven Mike for all of his faults. He feels the insatiable urge to apologize again, but Will had been firm in his stop apologizing, and he's in no position to speak against it. Will still sits next to him, silent, and he has yet to say anything more, but he hasn't moved away in disgust or repulsion, and that is all Mike can ask from him, and especially when Mike still hasn't stopped wanting. Can't control the covets of touch that run through his every move, and it's no different even now. He's fucked up like that. You asked me, Will begins, quiet, and Mike is quick to turn to him, terrified that this moment would slip away. About the painting. About why I lied. Will furrows his eyebrows, eyes no longer on Mike. And I said that I thought it would help you with your relationship with Elle. Mike doesn't want to think about the painting anymore. It wasn't a good move on his part to spring it upon Will so suddenly and then move on to confess one of his dirtiest secrets, but he has never thought out anything he says, and this is no different. And it was true, Will says. I did do it to help you, I guess, but that's not completely true. Mike frowns, and he wants to say something, offer an encouraging inquiry like Will does so effortlessly, but he's never been good with words, because no amount of writer's blood coursing through him has ever helped him when it mattered. He can write all the fantasy novels and comic outlines and bad poetry he wants, but none of his words matter when it comes to Will. His mouth is empty, and he lets a silence fall upon them. When I said that Elle needed you, and that she was... Will gestures before letting his hands drop. She was, I don't know, reliant on you, I guess. That's when I wasn't telling the truth. Not completely. He huffs and rolls his neck. All of that, everything that I said about Elle, it was me. All of it. Mike feels dizzy. It's as though he's been hit with some sort of spell because it sets his mind ablaze and there's so many thoughts running through his head that he can't keep up and all he ends up blurting out is a meek, "What?" It was me, Will says, and he looks up, meeting Mike's eyes. I meant all of it. He reconsiders his next words, looking up before carefully placing out, "And sometimes... I feel like a mistake. Like I'm messed up." He quotes, and heat courses through Mike's hands. "But you?" He looks at Mike again, and it's intense, and maybe this is what the Big Bang was like when Will says, "You don't make me feel like that at all." And the weirdest thing of all is the way Will looks near petrified, eyes wide and ever so open to anything Mike could have to say. And he shouldn't be scared, because this is just Mike, after all. His opinion shouldn't matter much, not when he's admitted the things he has. Mike doesn't know how to wrap his mind around it all because he's never been good with change, but it's different just this once because he has wanted and yearned and maybe even on some sick level prayed for something like this. Something like Will liking him, thinking of him the way Mike has wanted him for the past so many years, still wants him, and it's so much and not enough and still yet everything all at once. Will's hands leave his lap, resting at his knees instead, and they look inviting, despite the trembling nature of them, even visible in the dark. Mike eyes them carefully, and he glances down at his own hands, just a little sweaty, pale like the rest of him is, not as shaky. He doesn't know what comes over him when he leans over and places his own steady hands over Will's. Will stills where he is, looking down at their hands, and it's a pretty thing. Watching a faint pink blossom up from his neck to his cheeks, spring flowers and blood rush, and Mike wants to touch it, feel it with his own hands against the warm California tan skin, and it doesn't feel so wrong to think like this. Not with Will. Will, he barely voices out, hushed, and he can't bring himself to speak any louder, but it doesn't matter, because Will's looking at him again. Mike can't say anything he wants, but he asks, just to make sure. You, don't bring my hopes up like this, okay? Don't, you can't. You can't. Will doesn't reply, but he keeps staring, unwavering, and Mike breathes out a shuddering breath, rattling his bones. I can't read this wrong, Will. You have to tell me. You're not, Will replies, flushed and nice in the moonlight. You're not reading this wrong. I also want. He tries, growing increasingly flustered before settling on, me too. And it's a mess of a confession, but it shakes Mike's world sideways. He nods, once to himself, another to show that he's still alive, and he keeps nodding like a bobblehead because he doesn't really have control over his own body while the swelling feeling of disbelief and unrestrained happiness starts to flood in. Okay, he mumbles. Okay, cool. Cool, his mind yells at him, but he can't focus on that because Will Byers feels the same way as Mike does, and he isn't so messed up because as far as Mike Wheeler is concerned, Will is as good as they come, a saint in plaid pajama bottoms and sitting on Mike's bed like it's nothing at all. And if he feels the same way Mike does, then maybe Mike isn't so bad. Cool, Will agrees, an amused smile, and Mike can't help but return it, gaze lingering on it, and the guild that usually arrives does not come, just this once. Their hands are still joined together, and Mike does not let go. He lets himself have this. Some part of him is terrified of being too much, but Will has done nothing but encourage Mike, and he doesn't move away because he is nothing like Mike. He's no coward, and lets Mike hold his hand, lets Mike stare at his mouth, lets Mike keep wanting him. And what is one more crime amongst the many he's committed in a single night? When he lets himself shuffle a little closer, knees bumping, and he pays no attention to the time and the voice that has been yelling at him for the past who knows how many years, finally shuts up for a moment when he meets Will's stare before glancing at his lips. He swallows. Will raises an eyebrow, seemingly a little lost. Mike? He questions, and it sounds inviting, as if what was on Mike's mind wasn't something terrible. Mike sucks in his cheeks and bites the bullet. The damage is already done, right? There's no going back anymore, especially when he's come this far. Mike tears the box open and unleashes all evil into the world when he asks, hushed,
"Can I kiss you?"
There's the nonverbal stutter of Will's body, jerking back before he leans in, but he stays a respectable distance away. His eyes are wide, and he still has that terrified look in his eyes, as though the four words had sealed an unspoken deal.
You don't want that,
Will whispers back, and all that was left was hope. Cold trepidation drips into Mike's chest, through the cracks of his ribcage and into the splinters on his heart.
What? You don't want that.
Will shakes his head, but it's not a refusal because Will's hand is turned over, their palms pressed together, and he's holding onto Mike's hand like he's afraid of letting go, and he's still leaned in so close, and the moonlight is shining on Will like he's the prettiest thing tonight, and he's still so close. What do you mean? Mike asks, and he's frowning. He doesn't know what to make of it because he's only been sure of very few things, and one of those things is that he's thought about Will's mouth more than he should. He's still thinking about it. Will spares a fleeting glance at Mike's mouth, and Mike's stomach feels like it did some gymnastics move. Will's still shaking his head, and he looks down at the space between them, the rumpled sheets underneath their legs. It wouldn't be good for you, he says, and he leans away just a little, enough for it to matter. He still won't look at Mike. He doesn't explain himself. And Mike has spent a little over 10 years with Will, yet in the course of the year, it is Mike that has lost the ability to read Will like an open book. It was easy when they'd been younger and Mike wasn't tripping over himself to distance them. When Mike knew by even the slightest change in tone that Will was angry, and Mike knew the way Will would simply lean away just a little when he was uncomfortable, and Mike knew when Will would have a nightmare but didn't want anyone else to know, and Mike knew Will. Then it had gotten difficult because Will would lean away when they were too close, but he'd be smiling and enjoying himself anyway, and Will would have dark smudges under his eyes, but he would insist he had no nightmares, and Will would watch the way he spoke whenever they hung out, and suddenly Mike didn't know Will as well as he thought. And maybe there had been an unspoken change, something Will was all too aware of, something Mike had been furiously shoving down that had built this terrible wall between them, had messed Mike up and made Will cautious, because Mike still knew Will, but it was difficult to read someone if they were set on being illegible. But Mike should have tried. He should have tried harder, shouldn't have been so quick to look away, should have been better. And now, with Will leaning away, yet their hands still entwined, Mike has the chance to try. It had been easy before. It should be easy now. Now, Mike scoots a little closer. Close enough that their knees are pressed together, and if Mike leaned forward, their foreheads would bump, and Mike ducks down to look Will in the eye, although he is doing a very good job of avoiding Mike's gaze, and Mike huffs out of breath and lifts Will's head up with a hand on his chin. Will looks good blushing in the night. Mike thinks he'd do anything to see this again. Mike thinks he'd do anything for Will. And God, isn't that a thought? Will. Mike says, certain for the first time in so long. I'm pretty sure you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Will's mouth falls open just a little, and Mike presses it closed with a slight click. And they stare at each other for a solid second before Will quickly begins to protest. That's not... It's true! Mike interrupts, nearly too loud for so late in the night. I'm always... Everyone says I'm softer around you, that I was always protective of you as kids, and maybe that's true, but I know that I'm always happiest around you, and my life wouldn't be the same without you. He pauses, chewing on his lip, hopes he isn't blushing. Like, I'd probably be a friendless loser if it weren't for you, because I was never interested in being friends with any of the other kids in kindergarten. Mike... Will rolls his eyes, but there's a slight glimpse of mirth in them. You don't have to... And I definitely wouldn't have become friends with Lucas or Dustin, because you were the one to go up to them because they look lonely, Mike points out. And I would have never met Eleven, or gotten into D&D, or listened to half the music I love, or wanted to be a writer, or anything, he insists. And maybe his volume has gradually gotten louder, but he lowers his voice when he realizes how close their faces are, as he says, because I wouldn't be me without you. Will doesn't lean away, or laugh in his face, or blush and turn away, or even move at all because he sits frozen, hand still perched in Mike's hand, and eyes wide, and cheeks pink, and looking like everything Mike has ever wanted. Will stares and stares and stares, and Mike stares back, humiliation slowly sinking in. He remembers why he's so stingy with his words. This is maybe the most terrified he's ever been in his life. You don't have to kiss me, Mike quickly and quietly adds, turning away. If you don't want to, I just need you to know that you're good for me. You're the best for me, There's a slow silence, one that seems to last eternities, and the clock has faded far, far away, and it could very well be dawnbreak with how long they stay silent before Mike feels a warm hand curl around his wrist, and he looks up. Will offers him a slight smile.
You're the best for me, too.
Mike nervously swallows and pushes past all terror.
Yeah?
Will's smile widens.
Yeah.
He looks nervous suddenly, looking down before meeting Mike's stare, and he's still leaned in, still leaning in, and it feels like, for the first time in so long, that they are on the same axis, same ground underneath them while they sit together. Will seems entirely embarrassed when he admits, a whisper,
I've never kissed anyone.
They're a breath away from each other. Mike can feel his heart beating loudly in his chest.
I can show you, he whispers back. If you want.
Will bites his lip in nervousness before nodding. Mike presses close, and their noses brush for just a second, and then their lips meet, and... Frankly, Mike doesn't know what he was thinking, shoving away all his wants in that damn box, and he must be the dumbest person on the planet, but he can't find it in him to be too upset, because kissing Will's worth all the trouble. And it isn't the most coordinated kiss, not quite smooth, seeing as Mike is still close to exploding any second, and Will's never kissed anyone before, but it's reality warping, and there are sticks of dynamite going off in his stomach, and his mind is somehow both empty and running 900 miles an hour because he's kissing Will. He tilts his head a little more to the right, holds Will's chin to direct him to do the same, and Will's hand clutches Mike's wrist a little tighter, and neither of them really know what to do with their hands. Nonetheless, it's perfect, because it's Will, and he's letting Mike Wheeler, of all people, kiss him, and he's letting Mike be his first kiss, and it sets a surge of incomparable giddiness that has his hand shaky when he places a hand on Will's neck, and it's the bravery that has him lick into Will's mouth. He feels it under his palm when Will makes some sort of gasping sigh, and his shoulders slouch a little, and Will's warm under his hands, and they're still leaning in to get even closer, and Mike feels close to falling sideways. It's only when Mike nearly does topple forward, just a bit too much force when he'd been eager to press closer, but he can't find it in him to be embarrassed when he sits back to see Will, bright eyes and blushing cheeks and bruised lips. He doesn't know how he's ever felt guilty for loving someone like Will. Mike clears his throat, rubbing a hand on his thigh nervously, just to have something to do.
Was that okay?
Will blinks into the moment, turning to look at Mike. His eyes look starry.
Better than okay,
he answers, lips raised in a small smile, and he sits up straight, inches away from Mike. Their knees are still pressed together. This is the closest they've ever been, yet Mike still wants Will closer. He, for once, doesn't banish the thought. Mike pulls Will closer. I'm like a kite. Dumb, wicked, and white. Love me in spite, if I betray. Thank you.
author's notes. I have a love-hate relationship with Michael Wheeler, and to be honest, I would set a rabid dog on him. But absolutely no one else is allowed to insult him. Anyway, I hope everyone really enjoyed this, and I don't really know what my idea for this was, I just wanted them to have a good long talk, and I think I got that across. So I hope everyone enjoyed Mike's internal panic for almost 10,000 words. I've also never written Mike's point of views, and so I was hesitant about that, because I know his actions in the show can be perceived in several different ways, so I hope I did his character justice. Okay, that's all, I hope you liked it. As always, feel free to comment kudos, and you can find Smooth Snoom at the links that I've put in the notes. You can also find me at the links I've put in the notes. And furthermore, for the Podfickers notes for this fic, I absolutely love the Mike characterization here. I love the fact that he has a box of things that he absolutely cannot think about. And just sort of the narration that Smooth Snoom has for Mike in this fic, I feel like is really true to character. It gives you some of that little, like, dumbass, clueless vibes that Mike can have, while also still showing how much he feels and how much he, like, recognizes in himself without recognizing it in himself. He's a really good at that denial. So Michael Wheeler is a king, but he's also the worst. So I understand the vibes of the notes of this fic. So yeah, that's kind of all. I am going to be making the podfics for the rest of the Fix-It series that Smooth Snoom has, which absolutely bless. Thank you again, Smooth Snoom. You are very nice and kind and amazing and so talented, so I am very grateful to be able to make these podfics for you all to enjoy. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you in the next one. Bye.